All right, so we'll move into a 15-minute break. Please stay logged in. When we come back, we will be moving into the breakout rooms. And I'll give you a little bit of an announcement before I move you. So do take a break. We'll come back at 3:45 p.m. Pacific time and do our partner work. So, and just as always, we're here in the background during the break if you have any questions or need any support.
So welcome back. We'll get started. Does that work, Tanisha?
Yes, we're at five. So we can go ahead and get started formally.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. So I thought I'd open it up and see how the accreditation dyad went. This was our first experience with, you know, exploring the worksheet on onomycosia to get our feet grounded in the world of opening to body sensation.
Stephanie, can I stop you as an example
so you open more into that kosha. And this particular work is the basis for all the rest of the worksheets. It's the base of what we do with the one-on-one IRS practice. So I'd love to open it up to anybody here in person or anybody at their live stream just to hear how it went and if you have any questions or reflections. Yeah. Yeah. We're not coming.
I think they're probably reconnecting here. So thank you for your patience.
Let's see if this is better.
Yes, that's a little bit better.
Okay. All right, we'll do the best we can. I think we have a bit of a choppy connection over here. So we thought we'd log off and log back on. Can you still hear me?
Yes. And, you know, for those that might not want to be coming forward online, we can turn off the videos just to help as much as we can. But if you know you might want to come forward, perhaps leave your video on. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm not sure what you heard, but I was just sharing how we just went through the first co-meditation dyad worksheet, and that we're really using that to help you open up to Anamaya Kosha, to really open into what it's like to feel the body of sensation and just keep meeting the body of sensation. And this worksheet forms the foundation of all the other worksheets that are to come. And it's that first step. It's here for us to practice with, but then we're going into a stream entry where we don't have to stay with one particular kosha or part of the body or the emotions, but we'll meet all of what's arising by our final practice. But I'd love to open it up for any reflections of what this experience was like for you, questions that you have around this first practice, and that's open to everybody here or online. Yeah. Yeah, Leandra, do you want to, are you comfortable coming? Do you want to come and then everybody could see you? Yeah.
Hello. I guess my question is, when we're doing kind of the first kosha, is it, I find it's more helpful for me to close my eyes in that part, but then there's kind of this dialogue back and forth. So what is, in your experience, how do you navigate that? Like kind of staying in the body, but then also conversing?
Yeah, it's really up to you. So I have people that I sit with that have their eyes closed the whole time. Absolutely. So if it helps you to deepen, if you're talking about being on the receiving end of doing, you know, you're the one that's in the meditation, absolutely. Feel free to leave your eyes closed the whole time if that feels right to you. And then sometimes people will open their eyes and they'll want to do the process with eyes open and then they'll close their eyes again. So it really is just, that's the point. Like, this is your experience when you're on the receiving end to truly be true to yourself and true to the meditation. So feel free to do what feels right to you. Yeah. Great question. Yeah. Are you comfortable or would you like me to repeat your question?
Yeah. Or,
let's see. There's a general question that ties in. Is there anybody live stream that has specifically something they'd like to say? I will come to your question for sure. But is there anything else coming in today?
No hands raised yet, Stephanie.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yes, please. She wrote down her question. So she's finding it. Okay.
Thanks for coming forward. Hi, I'm Kristen. So I'm going to try not to ramble. So I was just noticing last night that as I'm kind of diving into this like felt sense, that it's harder to bring up the images. So at first I was wondering, well, is something getting in the way or am I not necessarily dissociating, but kind of like what was talked about earlier about like slipping away. So my question is, do you have any feedback or feeling or kind of sense of how do you know if you're in felt sense versus dissociating or slipping away, if that makes sense?
It does make sense. Did that question come through, Denny Shea? Yep, great. So as we're deepening into the felt sense and what's opening and we're moving from what feels very gross and dense to more subtle experiences, for some of us, there will be spontaneous images that will come through. And there are times where we open up. And I'm just going to play with the language rather than slipping away. And I had wanted to be more clear about this. And I realized there was more to what I had said earlier today, that when the question was around dissolving, and we're not dissolving to nothing. What we're dissolving into is our essential nature. What we're opening into is who we already are. That's always been here. It's just been so subtle and in the background. And our senses are so interesting that they help us navigate the world, that we usually tend to objects, to an object of a thought or a beautiful flower or a sound or whatever, the content of the world of our body and our mind. So in eye rest, we're opening up to that content. We're meeting it as messengers. So it reveals its message, and then our attention's then freed. And what we're opening into then is what's already been here. It's just been in the background. So we're shifting from the content to the context, right? Or the substratum, that background essence that's unchanging, that doesn't come and go, that's been here all along. That's the mystery. That's the essence that we can't ultimately name. But we can describe it as our sense of presence or being at first, and that may open up into something even more transparent. So I wanted to be clear, because sometimes that can sound scary, right? slipping away or dissolving. What does that mean? You know, am I going to disappear? No. The I thought that comes and goes, we see through that. We're not fused or identified so much with that sense of separation, which is just a thought, right? Now, it's totally ingrained in our nervous system, but what we're opening into when we're melting or dissolving or feeling is just we're opening into our more expansive presence of who we really are, who we always are and always have been. This part about us that's been here since the moment we've took our first breath, it's been here, it's been who we are in the background of our inherent existence, right? Just our sense of being, it's been here. Through all of our various development of the different ages, our body changes from being small to being whatever size we are today and whatever size we're going to be in 10 years. And it's here when we take our last breath. And even though our body and our personality go through all these changes, it develops, doesn't it? We evolve. But our essential nature, that which we're opening into and feeling back into, dissolving in and as, it's been untouched and unchanged. That's the wholeness. That's the what's already healed. That we're just totally in meditation, we're just doing the tiniest shift of attention so that we can fall back and see what's already been here, what's already the case. So thank you for that question. I hope that helps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Question
before we go.
Yeah. Stephanie, mm-hmm. I got a question privately. I'd love to have you answer because I think it's one that comes up a lot. Yeah. And the question was like, what is this aspect of these dyads co-meditations called? And if you're in private practice or wanting to work with individuals, how would you call this type of work? Is it therapy? Is it a specific type of therapy? I'm not a therapist.
Yes. We're not teaching you therapy. The therapist in the room will let you know we're not teaching you psychotherapy. We are teaching you skills to be a kind, loving human being. And skills of how we can meet someone without shutting them down, without trying to fix or change. We're teaching you to become a skillful meditation teacher. So you can call this one-on-one eye rest. You can call it co-meditation dyad. You can call it a way for you to sit with what's arising and that you're curious about. And that you want to befriend. I have somewhere a list of elevator pitches that I think would go well with this, right? So I'll come back to this with some more creative ways to approach it. But it's easy enough to say one-on-one meditation. And we could describe it that you open into meditation and you actually use words or verbalize what's happening, what you're meeting in meditation. And then I'm able to ask some simple questions that can support you to deepen into whatever's arising, right? Now, it's skills that as a therapist that I can weave in and have as an adjunct tool. And every therapist I know that's gone through this says, I wish I would have learned this in grad school. This is just a simple way of holding space, of being with people. And not everybody has this as a background. I certainly didn't learn it in my clinical social work program. But no, we're not teaching you therapy. Therapy, we have goals where somebody's coming to work with us because they want behavioral change. There's ways that we learn how to ask people about their history. We may have some ways that we're interpreting. We're at times, leading the conversation a bit and supporting them to make behavioral changes. Or now that's just a different emphasis than what we're doing in meditation when we're sitting with someone. So hopefully that helps. And I can come back with some elevator pitches a little bit later of ways. We've had some really funny ways that people have described this. So yeah. Anybody else want to share what it was like? Just how was your experience? Did it Was it interesting? Was it good? Did it feel good on the receiving end? Was it, did it feel crazy to try to facilitate this? Did it feel natural? What was it like? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I pause you for just a second? So either if you're not comfortable coming up here in the camera, could I bring the mic to you so everybody can hear it? Okay, we have somebody here. Yeah, it'll be a little muffled, but yeah, can we carry the mic? Okay, great, thanks.
Okay, yeah, so for me, it felt a little strange. I teach yoga and I lead meditation or like mini shavasana at the end. And it's funny, I recently started substituting a class that was meant to be a vinyasa flow with an eye rest at the end. And we changed it to just meditation because obviously I hadn't done my eye rest training yet. But I had been to that instructor's class before, and like I've done IRS practice as the receiver, but it's interesting to think about like going from the script of the meditation to doing this dyad exercise, which is like leading questions and then just holding space and seeing what rises, and you know, initially thinking, okay, this is weird, and I know the person that I'm practicing with is like a therapist, and so I naturally I'm like, okay, well, they're gonna be better at it than I am, but it's not that. It's like just, you know, being human, meeting them where they are, things that come naturally to me anyway, and so just kind of like getting out of my head of, oh, it needs to be this certain way, or just letting it flow, like going, like using this as a guide, but then also just like feeling what's happening and like that deep listening, and going from there. So I mean, it was really informative, but also a little bit like, okay, get out of your head, just let it happen, like on both ends, like of the receiving end and then like the leading or facilitating end of, it doesn't have to be any certain way, like nothing specific actually has to arise and you don't need to force anything. So but yeah, it was just very interesting, and I feel like all of these dots are connecting in my mind of like the yoga practice, and then as like a person who writes, and then and holding space, and then also like being a creative, and how this like practice can feed that like creative life, and how a lot of times with that, like you can't force the creativity to come out, like you have to listen and then it comes to you. Yeah.
Stephanie, I have a share from online that I think would be beautiful to come right alongside that.
Okay.
I'll just, yeah. I'll read it. This is from Cynthia. I felt deep caring and holding space for the person I worked with, but yet our boundaries didn't merge. Her stuff did not become my stuff. I think that is because I'm more listening than trying to talk, saying something, or to fix anything.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Yes. That's what it's about. You know, we're in this field together, but it's not emerging. However, our deepest essence, what we're opening up to as resonance and presence, it's a shared field. And then we're each this unique expression. And ultimately what it is, isn't it? You're just opening into your own meditation. This is your own IRS practice. So as we open up tomorrow into the worksheets where we dive into emotions, and then the next day we'll go into beliefs or memories or thoughts, and then eventually stream entry, all this really is your own personal meditation practice in an iris form, really. So people ask, can I do this with myself? Absolutely. Absolutely. Ultimately, this is likely going to become your the way that you practice within yourself. You're just meeting what's arising. And then at a certain point, you meet everything that's already arisen. And now your attention's freed. You don't have to go looking for something. Let that attention turn back in on itself. Oh, what's this that's been seeing or experiencing or witnessing all of this whole time? And it is, it's really lovely because we're not here to give anyone an experience. We're not here to change them. We're not here so that they feel good, even though that's very much a part of being human. We want people to feel better. But how do we know that the most important thing that somebody might be feeling right now is to stay with what's uncomfortable for just one moment longer, so that they have some deep insight because they've been able to stay with their own inner process and feel into what's there? That's just reverence. I feel like every time I sit down to do this, I'm just honoring the person I'm with. And it's just a moment. I always feel reverence at the end for them meeting. So thank you for that share. It was beautiful. And thank you, you know, for what we're just doing right now. And like you said, it isn't comfortable, right? For many of us, if we haven't done anything like this, it's new. So we're learning how to be uncomfortable, even within ourselves. We have to meet anything we're going to meet with another. We have to meet within ourselves anyway. That gives us our capacity to meet anything difficult in life. We've got to meet it in ourselves first. So we're learning to be comfortable with discomfort. We're learning to become comfortable with not knowing and not having to have an answer and not having to give someone an experience. We're learning to trust that we can just meet what is and find, you know, we have a bit of a worksheet here to support us with some really skillful, kind questions that can help people to deepen into themselves. That's all we're doing. So anyway, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but I'm so glad to hear that it was a good experience. And if there was anybody that didn't come forward that was like, you know, I just want to say it's okay. We know that, again, this is a process that takes time to become comfortable. And you may never, ever use this, by the way, as far as like set up shop to do one-on-one. Our intention isn't that everybody's going to become a one-on-one iris teacher. Our intention, though, is if you teach group practice, you're going to know it inside out, backwards, forwards, upside down by doing this process. And it will allow you to meet someone after class if they come up and they say, you know what, something came up. I had this memory. I haven't thought about this in years. You'll know how to meet them skillfully, even if you're not going to ask them to come have a session later. You're going to know how to hold them in the moment in a way that they can meet it, explore it, hopefully feel, you know, find a sense of ground. And then maybe you refer them on to a therapist or something if this isn't something that you'll do. Or it will support you in how you talk with your kids, how you meet your husband. This will make more sense as they unfold throughout the 5 days together and, you know, really in your life. So, great. Well, how about we turn into our iris practice to end the day together? Does that sound good? Okay.